Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. Jackson Ogden, now producing the operation. The great Julio Sanchez has now turned the reins over to you, man. Welcome to 96.5 The Fan.
I appreciate it.
Welcome to the mothership, right?
Yeah.
Julio's the best one to learn from, too, because Julio's been around here forever, man.
Yeah.
He's like one of the best dudes, man. He's been around here forever. I mean, that's the best of the best, man.
Yeah. New kid on the block. You know, I'm just soaking it all up.
And I got a chance to talk to you, and we're talking draft, and you're talking about your spreadsheet. And I was like, man, this guy's got a spreadsheet looking at prospects, man. Got to get you on some character concerns, man.
I'm a big draft nerd. All of my friends, everybody that knows me listening knows that I'm a gigantic draft nerd.
Well, I think we'll use a different term, my friend. A draft stud.
There you go.
Not a draft nerd, because draft nerd would imply that it's nerdy, looking at 40 times and what you do against certain D-backs or, you know, how you're playing. So let's use a different term.
Yeah.
We can use nerd.
Some film study. That's what we'll do. Studious.
It doesn't make great dinner conversation, to be honest with you, 40 times.
Just depends who you're having dinner with.
True. True. If you can find that person, man.
Yeah.
If you can find that person, you know what I'm saying, you got to do it. But it's fun. Welcome to the state. We have a ton of fun here, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been around here learning the ropes for a long time, so glad Julio kind of turned things around to you. Hopefully he's not doing what I said he'd be doing the last segment.
I'll keep you updated.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the show. Anyway, we'll talk some more NFL here in a moment. But I am curious, though. Well, I didn't see a reaction. I couldn't see a reaction when I said Keenan Allen. Because text line's for that. Now, keep in mind, this isn't just Johnny come late. Who's still available? No. I've been saying this for months. But the only reason is, because I see it as a value. Like, you don't want to wait too long and all of a sudden you need somebody to come in and be part of the offense. You want him to get acclimated. I know he's a veteran. He's a six-time Pro Bowler. He knows what he's doing. He's seen every coverage imaginable. He knows what he's doing, all right? He knows how to play the game. I mean, this guy's got 66 touchdowns in the NFL and over 11,000 yards. He knows what he's doing. But the earlier, the better, in my opinion, instead of, hey, here's the playbook, here's a day, 2 days, go learn it. It's not Baker Mayfield that learned how to play for the Rams the day he was picked up.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as, if you don't sign him now, every camp a receiver goes down, right?
Every
team loses a starting receiver in camp every year.
And then the Chargers just lost Mike Williams.
Right.
Remember, he came back, he's put on the PUP list, he says, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to retire at 30 years old, so Mike Williams now off in the sunset. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Charger fans, they want Keenan back.
If it's not...
Do with the reboot.
You know, if it's not in training camp, it'll be in preseason. Somebody will get hurt. It always happens at every position. And then you got to go get the vet that's still out there this year. It happens to be Keenan Allen. So if the Chiefs really did want to do that, I would say now would be probably the time, because you might not get that chance in a couple of weeks if somebody gets hurt, which, you know, unfortunately is inevitable in camp. That always seems to happen.
I mean, you can't just bank on what you have, because what you have, looks great on paper, right? Looks good. Look at the wide receiver, and then all of a sudden someone's suspended, mm-hmm. which Rice will be. And then if you have an injury, oh, crap, what do you do? Because last year was no crap moment, because it was, oh, crap,
right.
Now your first-round pick, which was actually a perfect situation, you know, for mm-hmm. Xavier Worthy coming in here. He can watch Hollywood, because, again, basically the same type of player, you know, speed and just agility, that kind of guy. Same type of guy, Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. So he had someone to learn from. And then, of course, Rashee Rice was off to a great season last year. But then all of a sudden life happens. You're sitting there going, okay, what do we do? What do we do? And the only reason I want this, it's not like I'm saying, hey, Keenan, come in here and lead this team with 1,300 yards and have your career, but have 108 catches again. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Just a guy, I think at this point in his career, it gives you more than Juju would. Just my opinion.
I guess just last year it looked like he lost a step in Chicago. Is that because the Bears were a dysfunctional offense? Because...
Well, 70 catches still, over 700 yards with a quarterback that was running for his life every single time.
But it wasn't the Keenan Allen that we saw in Los Angeles.
It was different.
/San Diego, you know? Yeah, and that's the concern is he trending down, or will he have one more great year in him?
You're still not going to find someone better, like, in the slot.
Probably not.
He dominates in the slot.
Probably not.
Rashard Smith, someone wants to know about that from the 816. Keep your Chiefs questions come in. I'll address them here in a little bit. But I do want to talk about the Royals getting started for the second half. These next 2 weeks, man, the Royals are just one of these teams, man, that just keeps you coming, man. Keeps you watching. keeps you interested. I went out a couple times last weekend for the Mets series, and I look at this team and, all right, second easiest schedule going forward. And here's the one thing about this compared to the NFL, because the NFL we see, you know, easiest schedule or second easiest schedule, and then 20 of the last 23 years, someone's gone from worst to first. I mean, it does happen in the NFL all the time. That's why it's hard to go by W&Ls, because you don't know. Maybe the Jags that win a playoff game suck the next year and get their coach fired. You know, that does happen in the NFL. But in baseball, I think you know what you have on June 1st, but now we're on July 17th past the All-Star break. So when you see bad teams on the schedule, they're bad teams. I mean, the Royals' strength of schedule is pretty realistic at this point. It just is. But you got 2 weeks till the trade deadline, and you have to figure out what you're doing. But I'm looking, I love, you know, the football analogies and things like that, because they're having a good quarterback and how your whole mindset changes when you have that dude. And they've got that in the pitching staff. Right now, from the All-Star break right now, team ERA, starters and relievers in Major League Baseball, Royals are number 2. Number 2 in all of baseball, number 2 in the AL. Obviously, Rangers ahead of them. Starters, 3rd in all of Major League Baseball, number 2 in the AL. Relievers, 9th in Major League Baseball, 5th in the AL. That is, and that's dealing with Cole Reagans being out.
Yeah.
That's dealing with a rookie and Noah Cameron from St. Joe coming up and doing his deal. That's doing it with a guy like Chris Bubich that made his first All-Star game. So now every starter in this rotation has an All-Star appearance, including the Reagans, right. Who has, he's still in a perfect game in his career, but he's hurt at this point, retroactive IL. But you look at this team and you're like, man, when is it going to be this good again? When is this pitching staff going to be this good? Like, you don't want to waste something that's good. Like, this is elite. This is something that wins games in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
You can win. You just got to have the bats to come through it. And no, it's not going out and, you know, an Adam Frazier that they made a move for earlier this week that's coming back to the Royals. That's not going to move any needles. Now, is that just a guy that can go in, you trust him, he's going to get that timely hit for you? Maybe so. Maybe that's what he's good for. But, yeah, you need other bats. You need a Suarez. You need somebody like that. I don't want to see him give away the future either. You don't want Carter Jensen and Blake Mitchell, these prospects, going away in a deal, which I don't think for Lugo, as much as it is, I think it is a wave and a white flag if you did trade him. But the bottom line is, what are you really going to get? Because he's a two-month rental player.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get a ton. You're going to get somebody that's probably traveling around through AA and AAA that may or may not ever be something for your team. And because you're going to have him the rest of July, if they did make a move, they'd have him for August, they'd have him for September, free agent.
Right.
He's going to pass on his club option with the Royals, so he becomes a free agent.
Yeah,
so
hits the market again.
So you're not going to get a ton. You're not going to get a ton for him.
You know, they have 12 games, Bink, before the trade deadline. Up until July 31st, they played 12 games. What do you think their record would have to be in the next 12 games for them to say, okay, we're going to commit to going in? 8-4? I mean, especially with who they're playing. The Marlins.
I think that's reasonable.
Like, anything, if they're like 6-6 in those games and you're still in no man's land, I feel like you kind of have to trade Lugo, right? Like, you can't lose Lugo this offseason for nothing. And like what you said, by this point in the season, you kind of are what you are. And I know people will bring up, well, last year the Tigers going into August had like a 0.8% chance to make the playoffs, but that's such an anomaly in the sport. Normally what you are on June 1st, like you said, is correct, but especially what you are on August 1st.
Yeah, especially July 17th. You kind of know who and what you
are. Post-All-Star break, I mean, you've got a good idea of who's a contender, who's not.
What the Royals are right now is they're better than bad teams. They start. Yeah. Pirates come in here, they sweep them.
Right.
They're just better than bad teams, but then when they play a good team, like the Mets, let's be honest, two of those three games they could have won. You make an argument they could have won all three of them. That Friday night game kind of slipped out away when – you know, Soto and Lindor go wild.
They definitely should have won the first game of that series.
But even that second game could have been won.
Right. I mean, they could have won all three of those games. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then they're at the Cubs, which it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland at home. And Cleveland, Cleveland's in sell mode now. They've gone from being a contender to a pretender real quick.
They're weird because they lost, what was it, 10 games in a row? But then going into the break, they won 4 or 5 straight. So they're always kind of, you know, on the fence. It will be interesting to see what the rest of the Central does. We know Detroit's going to buy. We know the White Sox are going to sell. What do the Royals, Guardians, and Twins do?
But Detroit pretty much stayed pat, too, because they knew that they were going to be good going forward in the future.
For sure.
So it's Miami for 3, and then it's at Chicago, the Cubs for 3. Then Cleveland at home, Atlanta at home for 3. Toronto, which is playing great baseball right now, and then that's going to be tough. Toronto, then Boston. Boston's won 10 in a row. We'll see what happens if Boston's still on that roll when they get to Boston, they play them on August 4th. Again, that's after the trade deadline. But before the trade deadline, it's Miami, Cubs, Cleveland, Atlanta. I just hate to waste this pitching staff because, you know, is it going to be this good? In 10 years from now, the Royals are going to be number two in ERA at the All-Star break? I mean, are they going to be
probably
that good?
Not.
I mean, last year they had number two and four in the Cy Young.
I mean, I'm 24 years old. I don't remember a Royals pitching staff in my life that's been this good, or at least this consistent, top to bottom. Even when they won the World Series, their starting five, it was good, but it wasn't this good, in my opinion. Like, they didn't have this level of guys. Your number one was Edinson Volquez, who was good, but he wasn't an all-star. You know, he was just a solid guy for you. The bullpen was great, obviously. It does stink that this is probably the best the pitching has ever been in the 21st century for the Royals. And the bats have just been so bad in situational clutch hitting, it doesn't matter.
But it's going to be fun. Watch them and see what they do. Because, again, get brought into it. They go and look good, like against Texas, and they swept them. They go to San Diego, and they look good, and they bring you in. Because you're always – it's insanity, right? Same, doing the same thing, expecting different results. You're always expecting that. J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, was on with Cody and Gold this week, and he was asked a question, what do you do for trade? Would you want an MLB-ready player, or would you want a prospect? What kind of guy would you want? Because right now those phones are probably burning up.
I think the best way to answer that is we're going to try to improve our team any way we can. And we have to be, I think, open to different concepts. And if that includes something that maybe is a piece off of our major league team to get something back for our major league team, then, yeah, we got to think about that. You know, you could probably define seller in a lot of different ways. But when you're sellers, you're trading major league pieces for prospects for the most part. I mean, that you're trying to rebuild. That's not the case for us. We're trying to make our major league team better, ideally in 25, but certainly in 26, 27, 28. Any way we can make our team better, and it may be a tough move. You know, that a lot of times, though, when you have a partner like that, they may be shopping the same thing you're shopping, and it just may not line up. But until you have those conversations, you don't know where the teams are. And, you know, now that the draft's over, I would expect that, you know, today is a day that we'll get very busy with teams checking in with each other and a little bit more clarity on who's going to be thinking, you know, the way you just posed that question, thinking now that they are sellers or thinking, you know, we're definite buyers. We got to make those calls and figure it out. But this is about the time it'll start shaping up, especially with all the teams that are still in the race.
Exactly. I'll stay on this hill. You know, everybody thinks they're in it. A third wild card has created confusion. It's created a lot of confusion. Are you in or not? Do you want to really throw in the towel and have your fan base go, well, you've given up.
It's kind of like the seventh seed in the NFL now, right? It used to be six teams get in. Now it feels like teams, it's wide open to the very end.
Everybody thinks they got
a
chance. I mean, the Orioles sitting 7.5 back, they think they have a chance because of the way they've been playing.
And
but
the NBA with the play-in tournament now, 100%. Like all these leagues are making it to where these teams feel like they have a chance unless you're Rockies level bad.
And it does matter because just 2 years ago when the Rangers played the D-backs in the World Series, the D-backs were the third wild card team, and the Rangers were the second wild card team in the American League, just one game ahead of the third. Mm-hmm. So different wild card teams just getting the dance, man. Just getting the dance. You never know what happens. Again, the Rangers were second by one game where they would have been third, and the D-backs were third. That was your World Series.
I mean, you even go back to the 2014, the Royals and Giants were both wild card teams, and that's back when the wild card was a singular game. You didn't even get a series. So I think there is that feeling in baseball that you want to buy even if you can just be a wild card, especially now that it's a best of three, not just betting on one game.
100%. 100%. By the way, keep your Chiefs questions rolling through because I do want to know what you want to watch at camp because we're just a couple days away on the 22nd for training camp starting. Chiefs are doing different than they have in the past. In the past, they've had quarterbacks and rookies show up and practice about 3 days before. Now it's the whole group going on the 22nd. They trust everybody to just go and just get it started again. Training camps open today with the Lions and the Chargers because they get to go a week early because of the Hall of Fame game. But the Chiefs start the 22nd. Ernest, what do you want to see? What's that camp battle you want to see? Are you more curious about the wide receivers now with the Rashee Rice news? Obviously, left tackle will be a huge position to watch. Or maybe it's Rashard. Someone wants to talk about Rashard. We'll get to that. We'll do that around 7:30. But coming up next, the props are out for wide receivers. Look at the Chiefs wide receivers and what are you actually expecting this season? We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Julio Sanchez still here. You seen the latest second round picks are starting to sign?
Yeah.
A few of them are.
It's kind of weird. I just feel like before they used to sign back right when they got drafted, and now it's...
Well, things have changed. Tyler Shuck, still waiting for him because Saints need a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But second rounders are starting to sign. Of course, the Chiefs don't have their second rounder signed right now either. Matter of fact, going in the day, what, 30 of 32 hadn't signed in the second round, even though all the first rounders, except for Shamar Stewart, right, the Bengals, poor Bengals, haven't signed. But, yeah, you're starting to see it. There wasn't, the problem is the first two guys that signed for the second round got guaranteed deals, so everybody wants one. I get it, man. They want that guaranteed money. But more and more guaranteed contracts given out in the National Football League now. Makes sense. Understand why owners want to resist that.
Yes.
But it's the going rate and the cost of doing business, what these teams are doing. But the floodgates are open for the second rounders. Have you seen these wide receiver props yet? Of course, you know, gambling coming to the state of Missouri here.
I'm not.
Now, the they've got some interesting over-unders, and the over-under is always fun to play.
Oh, yeah.
They are. I mean, some of these.
Especially a season-long one, because your bet's never really lost until the end.
I mean, some of them are tough because you got to really hope for no injuries. Like Jamar Chase, 108 and a half for 1350.5. Yeah. Triple crown winner last year. Of course, if he stays healthy, easily pass that number.
You think so, right?
I think so. Yeah, easily pass that number. So looking at that, like, yeah, you know, I'd 100% go in that direction if I was them. For the Kansas City Chiefs, they've got Hollywood Brown at 48 and a half for 600 yards. listen, with Rice going to have a suspension and everything, I think that Hollywood Brown, I actually like the over on both of those situations. The 3.5 touchdowns, that's pretty fair. But as far as the yards and receptions, I would go over on both of them. Any argument there?
I think it's a pretty fair number by the books. I think it's pretty close to what I would expect. I would be interested to see if they upped those in the next couple of weeks, depending on how long Rice gets suspended.
And this was before the court case was resolved.
So if you could get that number right now, I might take it, because that might not be available in a couple weeks. If they come out and say Rashee Rice is suspended for 4 or 5 games maybe, they might up those prop bets for Hollywood Brown and all the other Chiefs receivers.
Hollywood Brown has not played 16 games since 2021.
Gosh.
Yeah. In 2022, he was at 12 games. In 2023, he was a little bit less than that. He was at 23. He was at 14 games.
Yeah.
And then 2 last year because of the injury. But, you know, he's had 91 catches before back in Baltimore, 91 for 1,008. So, and again, as my late great friend Chris Paylor say, the contract year is undefeated.
Oh yeah,
so a chance to play with Mahomes.
Andy
Reid is a quarterback or as coach. Can he get more yards than that? So I like Hollywood. Now Rashee is at 72.5 for 900.5 and 6.5 touchdowns. Even with the suspension, I think Rice gets these numbers. Like even with the suspension, I think he hits them.
It depends, right? How long is he going to get suspended? I don't know how you could comfortably make that bet or really.
I would stay away from this one.
Yeah, like it's just hard to know right now. If he gets suspended 3 games, yeah, I could definitely see that. If he gets suspended, you know, I think the max would probably be around 6, right? If he gets suspended that many games, I don't know.
All right, Kelsey is at 74.5 for 700.5 yards, 4.5 touchdowns.
I personally, over.
You would have to if you went track record, because keep this in mind. So Kelsey at 74.5. He had 97 last year.
Right.
He's in better shape this year. Man, get it, man. Camp, everybody's in the best shape of their life. He actually has lost some pounds. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he looks better.
And they're going to rely on him, too. When Rice is out, it's going to be more and more. And he's still that safety valve.
He's got something to prove. He will always be Mahomes' safety blanket. If the primary read is not open, he's always there.
Keep this in mind. He has 9 straight years of over 80 catches.
Right.
So he's done that for 9. That's the most all time in NFL history.
So if you're betting the under, you're betting that finally ends, which in my opinion, he's not what he once was, but he's still a very productive tight end.
He's got 9. That's more than anybody in the NFL. Now, as far as 90 catches in the season, he's got 7. Larry Fitzgerald's the only guy with more. He's got 8 seasons with 90 plus catches. Kelsey's got But keep this in mind. His are all consecutive.
Right.
His are all consecutive. So, yeah. So he's done this consistently because it's consecutive. 74.5, I do feel is low.
I think so,
and
too.
And I think this would be an easy one.
I think that that's definitely, barring injury, I would think that that's a for sure over.
I would. 1,000 yards, I don't think he gets it, but getting over 700?
700, yeah.
700.5? Yeah, I think he gets it. Xavier Worthy, 69.5, 825.5 yards. 6.5 touchdowns. I think that might be on the high end for Worthy as far as touchdowns. I'd stay away from that. He had 58 catches last year as a rookie, over 600 yards. I think Xavier Worthy's going to keep getting better and better. Yeah. I mean, this is a dude that did lead the Texas Longhorns in catches and yards for three straight years. Two of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns. Meaning, right. And as far as being a punt return and stuff like that, I think that comes back. As long as Rice is going to be suspended, I think Worthy, they back him off that. Just like kind of like they did with Tyreek. Tyreek is a great returner,
right.
But they backed off that when he's more part of the offense.
You can't risk getting him hurt, especially with Rashee already out. Like, you put Nico back there to return kicks, who did a good job at it last year. It's not like you're going to just lose all returnability.
Well, it's going to be prevalent now because they drafted, and they like Jalen Royals has been a returner. Right. They, you know, they've gone through the draft because now it's going to be at the 35 instead of the 30.
All I can think about with Worthy in the prop bets, though, is how many plays were just a foot, an inch off from him and Mahomes connecting deep last year?
Several. And
his numbers would have been
sideline
numbers
placement.
Would have been nuclear had they hit on just half of those.
Yeah. And he did have 150 in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But again, garbage time, I get it, but it's still, he did get it. And he did lead the Chiefs in receptions and yards throughout the postseason.
It was just cruel that they couldn't hit the deep ball all year until the Super Bowl was out of reach. Then all of a sudden, Mahomes and Worthy could connect. Hopefully, that's a sign for things to come.
913-586-7965 is the phone number. We'll get to your calls and more. The text line, hey, what are your Chiefs' biggest concerns going to camp? Why do you want to go to St. Joe? Why do you want to get up I-29 and see the Chiefs practicing in camp that starts on the 22nd? What's the number one thing you're going to go up there and watch? We discuss all that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. Julio Sanchez still here as well. Hey, the Royals in action tomorrow night, man. Isn't that weird to say?
Finally back.
Vern has to go back to work.
Yeah. His all-star break's over.
Has anybody heard from Vern, man? Vern just lays low, man.
Yeah.
He just does Vern things, you know? He just lays completely low.
It's a
low.
Long season. Give him a couple days.
I had Gene in from our the other Odyssey station, the Bill station, one of the Bill stations out in New York, and we were listening to Vern, and he was just laughing because, you know, fans are the fans everywhere. He really started laughing when somebody called and wanted he called Vern and wanted to trade Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like, are you kidding me? Ugh. I was like, no, man, it didn't matter who you are. I've been doing the Chiefs post game. I did that for, like, I don't know, 12 years or something. You got to see all the calls and texts to bench Mahomes or fire Andy Reid or – you name it, man. I mean, and I put a moratorium on once the Chiefs came back 24-0 against the Texans because the whole text line was like melting down that game and the sky's falling and then all of a sudden they win. And I was like, all right. And then they were down double digits the whole postseason run, including the Super Bowl. And I was like, all right, this is what this team is. As Peter Schrager called them, the Stone Cold Killer Mahomes, they're never out until they're out. So you got to keep it going. You got to keep the faith. I know it doesn't look good at times. That Broncos game had you sweating last year at home until the block kick at the end, but they still got it done.
They had a lot of games that were not for the faint of heart last year. They kept you on your toes the entire time.
And I still want to know what the cardiac units do in Kansas City Hospital during Chiefs games. I've just always been curious about that. But 913-586-7965 is the phone number, 913-586-7965, J Southland Tow Service tech line. Let's go to the phones and talk to my old friend Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T? Big T? Big T, what's going on, my friend?
What's going on? I got you, man. How you been, Bing?
Good, man. How you doing, Big T and Shawnee?
Man, you know, I can't complain, hanging out, just, you know, recovering from all the rain.
There was a crap load of rain. I mean, it started raining like about 7, and it didn't stop until like the morning, man. Like, we needed it, man, but I digress.
Man, the house was shaking, and the old SP down there, our sump pump, kind of failed down there. So we had a little bit of water. But the general manager, Paul, he's a beast. He got it all fixed up, him and his dad.
Good.
But, Bing, good stuff tonight, man. So I want to you asked the question, what I'm concerned about. I got three things for training camp. Of course, you can flee rice. You know, I'll talk about it in a minute. But I'm concerned about that now, because they didn't know if that was going to come down this year or next, but it's coming down the pike, so we're going to take the punishment, and he'll deal with it. But then, you know, I'm worried about the left tackle, how that's going to work out, and also the guy sliding in to the guard position from BYU. Those are kind of my three things I'll be watching, and kind of maybe the depth at the running game. You know, we got that new guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you there, Big T. So you have Rice, you're going to be watching the left tackles, you're going to be watching the guards.
Yeah, yeah, and then maybe the running game. We got that kid from Frisco. We'll see how he helps out. I think he's going to add something to the kid.
Yeah,
so
Elijah.
Also, I want to talk about Pittsburgh signing T.J. Watt. I think that's going to change the game for a so-called contender. I think they're punk ass sets of crap at him myself, but because they've never won odd damn nothing. So I think they messed up by messing around with their Trey Hendrickson. I think that price is going to go up now.
Yeah, Big T, I keep losing you there, man. Kind of losing reception on there. But anyway, if you have something else to say, call us back, Big T. But we're losing. You were cutting out there at the end, but got the most of the gist of it there. And you're right, the Bengals are laughable, man. The Bengals, I'm glad they have an L in their name because they're losers. And the Bengals always will be. They're a cheap organization. They don't know what the hell they're doing when it comes to their defense. It was crap last year. That offense was out of this world. It was. You know, Joey B was doing his thing. Ja'Marr Chase is putting up triple crown numbers, a wide receiver. They bring back T. Higgins, giving all that. I think that was silly, to be honest with you, because I would have sprayed that to Trey Hendrickson. The guy led the NFL in sacks. Well, nobody's had more sacks than him in the last 2 years. He hadn't exactly led the NFL all both those years, but he's had more sacks than anybody those last 2 years. But Trey Hendrickson's a beast, man. They lose Pratt, their all tackle everything guy to the Raiders. He's gone. Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, that really had could stop Mahomes. Like, that's the one thing that he could do and do well, which is what they need to do, learn to stop Mahomes, and they did it. But yeah, the Bengals were the last team last year to have a first round pick signed. It was Amarius Mims. He was drafted, a guy that barely played left tackle. They take a chance on him. Again, the Bengals draft is a head scratcher, but who cares? It's the Bengals, right? But anyway, Mims was the last guy signed for the first round. Shocker! The only first rounder not signed, Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Stewart, who's been working out at A&M. I know people are saying, well, he wants to go back. Well, first of all, he can't go back unless he challenges it through the court system. And could he sit out all year and go to the draft the following year? Yeah. And through the CBA, here's the deal. If he does and doesn't sign that contract by week 10, he could sit out. He goes back into the draft next year. Keep in mind, he's 21. So he'll be 22 at that time, which is still, prime time. And he could go back, and guess what? The Bengals can't draft him, because that's the rule, that the Bengals, if he sits out all year, they can't draft him. But I don't think they would anyway, again, because of this situation they have. But nobody wants to go to their cheap organization. It's funny, they needed defense. They draft defense in the first round, even though Ja'Marr Stewart was a huge reach, in my opinion, just like Mims was the year before. But I digress. It's the Bengals, and that's what they do. But, yeah, it's laughable, Big T. It's laughable. Make Hendrickson happy, because that makes that and Hubbard's gone. Hubbard retired, so that whole bookends they had. But, anyway, that's Cincinnati. And, yeah, it's still Cincinnati and Buffalo and the Ravens. That's kind of the cast and crew. And obviously Cincinnati fell back last year because they didn't make the postseason, but the other two are going to be good. But yeah, I'm for that too in St. Joe. I'm really, really, left tackle to me is the end all be all. Because again, you had three out of five guys that were either all pro or pro bowl. And two of the three are the highest paid at their positions. And Tooney was up there as well when he first signed with the Chiefs. But you had all three of those dudes, and you still had trouble getting third and one, fourth and one. You still had trouble with that, which shows you the glaring weakness was left tackle. Because Tooney was playing out of place at left tackle. He's a guard. He's an all-pro guard for a reason. He's got short arms. I mean, I know people wanting to play tackle. Hey, 2-inch less short arms than what Andy Reid typically drafts, or Andy Reid has a left tackle. So he was manning up, and he was playing that position. He's damn good at what he does at guard, not a tackle. And that showed its warts there in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I want to see Josh Simmons. And if they hit on it, it's a home run. If they don't, wait and see. You're going to have 5 years with him because you'll have the fifth-year option. So it might be a wait and see. I know that people are excited about it because they think he's ready to go for training camp. But, again, you got to wait and see. Don't forget, he hasn't seen live action since October. It was the Oregon Ducks last year. He saw the live action. So to step up and play in the NFL, because he hasn't faced – and Andy Reid put that caveat out there. He said, you get to St. Joe, you got guys trying to make the team. You know, you're wearing pads now for the first time, and things are different. And things get different. We'll see what that happens. But if it works out, perfect. They get that blindside protector from Mahomes. Sign Jalen Moore. You know, don't forget about him. Don't sleep on him because he's got something to prove, too. He's a prove-it type deal because he can make a lot of money in this game. He was a fifth-round pick out of Western Michigan. He's got something to prove. In this game, he's behind Trent Williams, one of the best that's ever done it. So that's why he wasn't starting. Did get a chance to play in a handful of games, but don't sleep on him. But that's the most important battle that I think. Then left guard. Is Sua Matia going to be acclimated to do that? Because clearly everybody wanted him at tackle last year. A lot of people wanted him in the first round. I never thought he was a first-round talent. Chiefs wait till the second round. Looked like a steal. Juan A. Morris was getting the reps through OTAs. Get the training camp. It's Kingsley. And Kingsley's your start in the beginning. Can Kingsley, well, listen, he's got the athleticism. He's a mauler, man. And yeah, he's got the athleticism to do it. He's played both on the right side at tackle at BYU and the left. Can he make that transition to guard? I think so. I think it's much easier going from guard or from tackle to guard than it is guard to tackle.
Absolutely.
So
it's what made.
Then Caliendo, let's not forget about him. But, right. Yes, I'm curious because right now the offensive line looks a lot like the same, man. It's still Creed. It's now Trey. It's still Juwan Taylor. It's that left side, which right. is ultra important. Yes, your left tackle is crucially important, but who you put next to him? Who's going to be that guard in between Creed and your left tackle?
Well, they've spent a lot of resources on the O-line, not just money, but draft capital as well over the last few years. And really, ever since they lost to Tampa in that Super Bowl, I think you kind of have a good problem if you're the Chiefs right now at left tackle, because whoever wins that battle you feel like is an upgrade compared to what you had last year. If it's more, if you don't think that your first-round pick Simmons is ready, that's okay. You know, he's a rookie coming off an injury. If you do think Simmons is ready, then you have more there in case, you know, he's overwhelmed or whatever happens. I think
there's a reason they really wanted more. They circled that, right. And they went right after him.
And I think there's potential that after this year they even may move more to right tackle and cut some ties with Juwan Taylor.
And that could easily happen.
That's possible as well.
And keep this in mind about Jalen Moore. He's athletic enough to do whatever. He went to Western Michigan as a tight end. That's right. How he was recruited. Yeah, he played with Sky Moore when he was there.
Wow. Or not, but, did not know that.
Yeah, but then he was moved to left tackle. But he's got the athleticism to move around. So we know that he could do that. But the left side, I'm curious because the offensive line, I mean, it is a lot the same. I mean, with Taylor and Smith and Humphrey, it's a lot of the same. That just shows you the importance of that left side, man.
Left tackle, man.
It's completely glaring. It's completely.
If they
glaring.
Could even be league average at left tackle this year, it pushes the offense in a whole different direction.
I mean, since Fisher, they've been searching, man.
Right.
And I know the Chiefs made a hard play for Trent Williams.
Right.
Back before this last contract, it went like 2 o'clock in the morning. It looked like they were going to get him, and then for some reason, the Ravens traded him Orlando Brown.
Uh huh.
Which, hey, I know that he wasn't everybody's favorite, but you know what? He got a ring. Worked he did out. The deal. And Orlando, they didn't have a left tackle, and they didn't trust COVID tackles in the draft. They didn't trust them because you know what? They were right because like Sam Cosmi, Liam Eichenbergs of the world, the Alex Leatherwoods of the world, they didn't trust them, and it shows why. And they made of all the Chiefs' moves, it's sometimes the moves you don't make that are the better ones.
Right.
That move they made for Orlando Brown because they didn't have a left tackle, and they got a guy that fancied himself as a left tackle. And not only that, but they got pick 58 in the draft. That turned out to be Nick Bolton from the Ravens. So thank you, Baltimore.
Yep.
Thank you, Buffalo, for Mahomes. Thank you, Kansas City Chiefs rivals. You have created the monster.
They really have. And they did it again, giving us Worthy. Buffalo did.
Oh, and McDuffie, too.
Right.
Buffalo really wanted him, and they had to settle on Kyir Elam.
They're their own worst enemies.
Yeah, they had to settle for Kyir Elam on that stand. A couple of the other questions about the Chiefs running game. Get to that in just a second as well, because I do think it's imperative for the Chiefs to be able to move the football on the ground. We'll discuss that and, of course, what Trey Smith's new contract means.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. And as you told me, think of Jonathan Ogden. Exactly. It is a lineman-sounding name, my friend.
Yeah.
What do you name Jackson for? Was that for Bo Jackson by chance?
No, it wasn't. It was a movie that my mom's going to kill me that I can't remember, but it was from somebody in a movie. I'll have to ask her.
We've had a lot of guys named after certain players, too. It's been interesting. Like, a lot of the parents have named some of the guys around here, like, you know, their favorite players and whatnot. You have that. Kramer, that used to be a producer here. He's over at the Wolf now. And does Kramer Sansone, he was named after Eric Kramer.
Yeah.
The former quarterback. His mama's a big Eric Kramer fan. So it does happen here. So that's why I asked the question. So people are talking about Elijah Mitchell, right? Someone text line about Elijah Mitchell. Here's the one thing about Elijah. So he runs a 4.38 at the combine. One of his official scores, 4.35. Then he has his pro day and his 4.32. So, but health has been his deal, but he's got the speed. Like he's got the speed. He's got the power. Like, that's why he's here. But where does he fit in? They're going to keep four running backs? I hardly doubt it. Because Kareem Hunt, they brought him in for a reason. Kareem Hunt will make this team. To me, I love Samaje Perine on this team last year. I was glad when the Broncos cut him and he ended up here. Now, unfortunately, he's back with those losers, the Bengals. But he's back with them. But I like Samaje Perine a lot. I mean, I don't know how you liked him in the backfield, but I liked him because he could block and do things. Jet McKinnon's the best blocker in the backfield I've seen in the Mahomes era. But Perine's pretty damn good, too.
They were both really good at that, and they were both good pass catchers. I mean, that was another thing, is the play that sent Kansas City to the Super Bowl last year was designed for Perine out of the backfield. He came out, the entire Bills defense goes one way, Perine goes the other. You know, sends
people slept on him. Remember when Jet had 8 straight weeks of a touchdown catch?
Oh, yeah. I think that was including when Mahomes underhanded him one, right?
And keep in mind, yeah, exactly. And keep in mind, they didn't really use him a ton as far as just being a blocker. The first 8 weeks of the season, it was kind of like, all right, we'll just keep our little weapon here. And that's kind of how they use Jet. But a lot of times, Mahomes' last line of defense was Jet, man. He would step in and make the block to enable Mahomes to throw it downfield, hit Kelsey for a touchdown, whatever. It was Jet McKinnon. So this year's running backs, I think, are actually going to be fun to watch. I think this can be a fun little battle to watch. Of course, last year, Pacheco was banged up, and I don't think he ever was 100% right. It was just different for Pacheco.
Not after the injury, no.
But Kareem was their trusted dude because props to him, too, for staying in shape, being on the couch. Hey, make the phone call. He comes right into Kansas City, and they make that move. Glad they did it. But Kareem became that trusted guy. When it got close to halftime, or even in the second half on short yard, it was Kareem Hunt. Like, it wasn't Pacheco. It was Kareem Hunt who they trusted. That shows you, like, how much they value and trust him to do things. And I don't think Pacheco was 100% right. But I'll say this about Isaiah. Like, he's at a prove-it moment, too. And, you know, his deal, he's got the rings with the Chiefs. He's got the accolades. He's got everything else. Won back-to-back as soon as he got in the league. Very hard runner. You would agree, Jackson. Very, very hard runner. But he does have 4.37 speed. And you're always waiting for that to happen. Like, I've been waiting for that to happen. You break that tackle, you get in that open field, you showcase that 4.37. We just haven't seen it. But the other thing that really bothers me, too, on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1, as hard a runner as he is, he's not on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1.
He's really not. And that's where Kareem kind of, you came in last year and was helping the Chiefs get first downs in those situations. And you would think, because Pacheco is a pretty physical runner, he would be good in those spots, but the Chiefs have really struggled in 3rd and 4th and short.
I mean, it's a skill to do it. I mean, if you're not going to plow and run over somebody, move your body. Mm-hmm. You know, Marcus Allen was one of the best short yardage runners I've ever seen, and he wasn't running you over. Yeah, he had the height and a little bit of the weight, but that wasn't his game, man. He was silky smooth in how he moved his body. It was great around the goal line, great on short yardage. But, yeah, I'd like to see him get better there. But I am curious about Isaiah. Isaiah Pacheco this year is going to be interesting to watch. And Carson Steele, they have him listed at fullback. He was a fullback last year. Of course, they tried the halfback experience with him too. But he can play both because at Ball State, when he was there, he led the MAC in rushing. Then he transferred to UCLA, still put on a good year, but he wasn't drafted. I get it. But it's going to be tough, though, because what are they going to do? Because they've gone without a fullback. Typically, Andy Reid's always kept a fullback. He hasn't before with the Chiefs. Right. He hasn't done that and use a tight end to be your H-back. But what I'm looking and how many guys can you really keep? Because if you want to keep Mitchell and you want to keep a check on all that, you can't keep a fullback in that situation. But who's going to be the rotation? What are they going to do? It's kind of like a baseball. You know, who's going to be your seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guy?
Right. I would say for sure, no doubt, Pacheco, Mitchell, and Kareem are going to make the roster. I mean, I just can't imagine a scenario they don't. So that leaves Steele kind of on the fence of where are you at? And then I think they like Breshard Smith. I mean, everything that you hear, 100%. They like him. Even though he was a seventh-round pick, and seventh-round picks typically aren't roster locks, he feels like one that they really have plans for. So
yeah, and I'll get to him. I'll get to him at 8 o'clock. I didn't want to talk about that. But the over-under is Pacheco. All right, let me put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
Pacheco they have for 750 and a half yards.
Okay.
Five touchdowns.
If he stays healthy, if he doesn't have a bad injury like last year, hammering the over. He, to me, was on a trajectory. I mean, he did do that in his first two. Well, maybe not his first year, but his second
year. We almost got 1,000. He didn't quite get it, but he could have.
Right. And I think the Chiefs, especially because they've invested so much in the interior O-line, last year they ran the ball more than any Andy Reid team ever, even going back to Philly, if you take percentage of the time. I think they're going to somewhat stick to that. I think they're going to run the ball quite a bit this year. And Pacheco, in my opinion, is going to be their number one guy to start the season. As long as he stays healthy, I would go over. What about you, Bink?
And it's not the end-all be-all either, because keep this in mind. You can get 1,000 yards in the NFL now, 58 yards a game. Yeah, there's 17 games. 58 yards a game is all you need to get 1,000.
1,000 doesn't make you an elite runner.
It doesn't. It doesn't make yards per carry is what does.
That's what matters.
And 3.7 last year. That wasn't good. And, of course, he was hurt and banged up, but 3.7 was a career low. He's been a 4.9 guy before, so hovering right there around 5 yards a carry. That was his first year, then 4.6 at that point. But, yeah, I want to talk some Breshard because I am curious about what he can do. And a certain publication loved Breshard going forward next year, actually calling him the best surprise coming out of camp. But I do want to talk about the Chiefs running game and will they stick with it and will it be a potent attack for the Chiefs this year? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.